Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
This next guest is definitely a timely guest. I think about the Olympics that are on. We see the Oscar nominations this week, and we see tensions between the U.S. and China, Tim, on a lot of fronts as they battle for influence, whether it's in politics, on the global stage, the global economy, military might, technology. There's a battle, and that also includes the movie business.
Yeah, it certainly does. It's been pretty remarkable how quickly China has been able to get to build out its version of Hollywood in China. And it's something that Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter at the Wall Street Journal, dives into. He joins us right now on the phone from Los Angeles. Eric, how are you?
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the new book, Red Carpet, Hollywood, China, and the Global Battle for Cultural Supremacy. Your book opens with an anecdote about a group of executives from China coming to the United States all the way back in, well, not that long ago, 2008. They were there to learn from Hollywood executives, some of these executives having run companies that are, 100 years old. How quickly has China been able to build out its movie business, its entertainment business since that time?
It has done in about a decade and a half what it took Hollywood 100 years to do. I think a lot of listeners might be familiar with the concept of technology transfer that we see in a lot of sectors when it comes to China. The idea being that if you want to invest in China or if you want to do business in China, you might need to show them how it's done. You might need to hand over airplane blueprints or partner with a state-backed company that might want to learn how to sophisticate their operations. Well, the same thing happened in Hollywood and the movie industry. As Hollywood moved into China, China started to observe how Hollywood operated, sometimes in a literal classroom like you referenced, and sometimes just by hiring talent and bringing them over to show them how to make commercial films. And since then, we've seen the Chinese film industry just take off, and movies there routinely gross upwards of $500-600 million in China alone. And now we're trying to see also this sort of final leg of the race, which is exporting those movies abroad, as America has done for decades as well.
You know, it's interesting, on a day when we're reporting Disney earnings, I think about the role of these big global companies, including a Walt Disney, their role in terms of helping out China maybe move forward when it comes to movie making. How do you think about, how do you write about a company like Disney and their role in all of this?
Disney's a fascinating case study because it spent the past 25 years going deep into China. At one point, Bob Iger, the former CEO, described the Shanghai Disneyland Park as the best opportunity for the company since Walt Disney himself had bought land in Central Florida. I mean, this was a country of 1.4 billion people, a lot of whom had children and a lot of whom had only children. So, I mean, if you're operating Disney's business, a nation of a bunch of only children is about as, you know, a dream scenario as you can get. However, we've seen some of that success turn into something of a liability, because there is a massive theme park in Shanghai and there's another one in Hong Kong, and the movies do exceptionally well. However, it's just gotten trickier to do business there overall, not just because under Xi Jinping, doing business in China has grown more opaque, but also because in some cases it has put Disney at odds with its own American government.
Well, what has Disney had to give up in order to operate successfully in China?
Well, I mean, so let's start with the theme park in Shanghai. Disney is not a majority owner of that park. Like a lot of other business ventures in China, it had to partner with local firms and give them majority ownership. So that means that I think about 45% is owned by Disney and the rest is owned by companies that are local and state affiliated. And there were other issues with Disney's strategy. The first being that, you know, in the mid-1990s, when Disney first started looking at building a theme park in China, Chinese officials wanted it right away. And Disney had to say, whoa, you know, there's a reason we only have four or five of these things in the whole world. We don't just build a theme park when someone asks for it. We have to start to seed affection with children, so they beg their parents to take them to that theme park first. And they initially wanted to get the Disney Channel onto Chinese airwaves.
Right.
Government officials in China said no, but they did have other more creative ways to introduce Chinese children to Disney characters, including for a time a string of English language schools that would teach the ABCs and the Disney characters.
Eric, we're going to come back, continue the conversation. We're talking with Eric Schwartzel, author of the new book, Red Carpet. We'll continue in just a moment.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization. We live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I want to get right back to Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter for The Wall Street Journal, also author of the new book. It came out yesterday. It's called Red Carpet, Hollywood, China, and the Global Battle for Cultural Supremacy. Eric joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. Eric, I want to talk about Maverick's jacket. And I'm talking Tom Cruise Maverick here. This book is full of so many great anecdotes. I had no idea about the controversy or self-censorship surrounding this patch here. But explain the story and how self-censorship is embodied in what Paramount has done for the reboot of Top Gun.
Right. It's one of the most iconic movie star costumes of all time, right? The sunglasses and the leather jacket that Tom Cruise wears in Top Gun from the 1980s. And when Cruise suited up for the reboot that I think is now coming out this year, if not next year, it's been delayed a couple times because of COVID, people noticed a key difference on that jacket, which is that the flag patches that were on the back had in the 1980s included the flags of Taiwan and Japan, but in this reboot, they were gone. And the reason why I discovered is because Chinese financiers who were helping pay for the film pointed out that those could be a problem because a Taiwanese flag implies that Taiwan is its own country, a geopolitical stance that Beijing disagrees with, and tensions between China and Japan have always been charged. And so maybe while the costume designer was at it, they should take that patch off as well. And so suddenly you had this movie that in the 1980s symbolized, frankly, Reaganism on screen, you know, rah-rah cinema, instead bending to Chinese rules without China really even having to say a word. That is, I think, one of the striking things about China's relationship and influence on Hollywood is that we're at the point now that China doesn't even really need to say anything for Hollywood executives to know what lines not to cross.
Well, you also write in the book, audience in China are reminded every time they go to the movies that what they are about to see has been approved by their government. And I, you know, one of the things I think we praise or embrace big time is that when it comes to art in so many different forms, including the movie industry, that that is an opportunity for directors, writers, producers, actors, actresses to put out lots of different points of view freely. It's very different in China. But American companies, global companies, have agreed to kind of play by Chinese rules. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And the business behind it makes it something of an economic no-brainer for a lot of the studio chiefs. Because the Chinese box office has grown so quickly at a time when the U.S. box office has flatlined, maintaining access to that market is really about maintaining access to growth. And to get into the Chinese movie theaters, as so many studios want to do, they have to pass censorship by Chinese Communist Party officials. So every major movie that is trying to get into Chinese theaters has to be first viewed and approved by these Communist Party censors. So that means not just removing, you know, maybe something little, some little detail that, or a line of dialogue that the Chinese censors don't approve of, but also just avoiding whole topics altogether, like Taiwan or Tibet or aspects of Chinese history that its leaders would rather not see on screen.
What is lost here when it comes to self-censorship, when it comes to making sure that movies that are made by American studios don't offend audiences globally? Or I wouldn't even use the word offend, but adhere to what that government sees as its own values.
Well, you alluded to this a little earlier, and I think it is a change for what we've come to expect Hollywood to do. I mean, since the 1960s and 70s, Hollywood has been the industry that is supposed to push the envelope and sort of stand as the American industry of free expression. And increasingly, especially in a global marketplace, that has not really been possible. And so not only do we see certain political concerns or stories taken off screen, but we also see really an undercutting of certain representation. You know, for instance, in China, storylines involving gay characters are all but forbidden. So that's not going to fly in major blockbuster movies. But I think in general, what we're seeing is that for the first time in Hollywood's 100, 120-year history, it is not making movies with Americans first in mind, but many times with Chinese censors.
Wow.
So how do you report on this world, how do you kind of put it up against the increased tensions that we're seeing between China and the rest of the world, and certainly between the United States, and being in an environment coming off of George Floyd and the pandemic, where we're saying, wait, there's inequalities, there is inequities, there's a lack of diversity and inclusion, there's racism out there. You know, corporate leaders, you need to stand up. We all need to stand up to make it a better system. How do you cross that with what you write about?
It's the tension that I think has also enveloped entities like the NBA, which has also waded into Chinese politics and faced similar criticism. You know, sort of, is there a hypocrisy there that actors or athletes who are so willing to engage on social issues domestically won't engage on them when they are Chinese in nature? I think that hypocrisy has really rubbed a lot of consumers and politicians the wrong way. And as tensions between the U.S. and China rise, and I'd also say, maybe even more importantly, as awareness of human rights abuses in China rise, then I think these companies and these athletes or these actors are going to have more to answer for. And we have yet to see what that public pressure leads to, because so far, anytime there's something of a flare-up, it fades from memory rather quickly. And I think the calculation for a lot of business leaders has been the PR hit at home will fade faster than any punishment I face in China. So just take the PR hit as long as you can maintain access in China. Well, I don't know if that dynamic will shift.
Well, just look at all the corporate sponsors that are over
at the Olympics.
And part of the Olympics.
exactly right.
Such a timely conversation. We really appreciate it. And good luck with the book. Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter at the Wall Street Journal, on the phone from LA. Check out his new book, Red Carpet, Hollywood, China, and the Global Battle for Cultural Supremacy. This just crosses so many different conversations and themes that we're having right now.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.